Welcome back to the podcast. I'm Robbie Jackson, and today we're focusing on the personal side of virtual reality. In the previous episode, we discussed the broader impacts of VR on industries and daily life, but today we're diving into individual experiences. In this episode, I'll start by explaining why VR is such an immersive and transformative technology. Then I'll be joined by a guest who owns and regularly uses a VR system to share their personal take on it. We'll wrap things up with my thoughts on how VR's growth is shaping the future and some of the challenges that still lie ahead. Virtual reality is often described as immersive, but what does that really mean? It's not just about putting on a headset and seeing something cool. It's about the total experience. VR isn't just a new way to watch or interact with content. It's a way to feel like you're a part of it. That's what makes it so transformative. Let's start with the basics. How does VR create the sense of immersion? It begins with the technology itself. Modern VR systems use high resolution displays, motion tracking, and spatial audio to make you feel present in a virtual world. These systems are designed to simulate real life environments as closely as possible. For example, VR headsets use stereoscopic lenses that adjust to your movements, allowing you to look around naturally. Unlike a traditional screen where you're a passive viewer, VR makes you an active participant. Then there's spatial audio. This might not seem like a big deal at first, but it's a game changer. Imagine you're standing in a VR rainforest. You hear birds chirping above you, a stream bubbling to your left, and leaves crunching under your feet. These subtle details put you deeper into the experience and make everything feel more real. Another key aspect of VR immersion is interactivity. This is where it outshines traditional media. In a movie or video game, your actions are limited. You might press buttons on a remote or use a controller to move a character. But in VR, you can physically reach out and interact with your surroundings. Whether you're picking up an object, pressing a virtual button, or even painting in 3D, the sense of agency you feel in VR is unmatched. I think what makes VR so powerful is its ability to create experiences you can't have anywhere else. You can stand on the surface of Mars, walk through ancient ruins, or explore the depths of the ocean, all without leaving your living room. It's not just about entertainment, though. This immersion has practical applications, too. In education, students can explore historical sites or conduct virtual science experiments. In therapy, patients can use VR to confront fears in a safe, controlled environment. Of course, with all its benefits, there are challenges too. For one, there's the issue of accessibility. High-quality VR systems aren't cheap, which means not everyone can experience them. There's also the physical toll. Some people feel dizzy or disoriented after using VR for extended periods. These are real concerns, but the industry is making strides to address them. At its core, the immersive power of VR isn't just about the technology, it's about the emotions and connections it fosters. It's a way to step into someone else's shoes or see the world from a new perspective, and that's what makes it so revolutionary. Now, let's hear from someone who uses VR regularly and can share their firsthand experiences. Joining me today is Akhil, someone who owns and regularly uses a VR system. Thank you for taking the time to talk with me today, and let's dive right into it. So the first question I have for you is, how did you first get introduced into virtual reality and what drew you to it initially?
All right. I would say my first introduction to virtual reality was when I tried it at a mall. So they have this VR setup, usually an Oculus system, and they let you play with it for an hour or so and they charge you some fee. So that was my first VR experience and I liked it. It was quite immersive. But it was still early gen, so I didn't really feel that I should own one. That was my first.
And then how long did it take you to, well, from that time you were at the mall and you used it till when you actually bought one, what made you actually decide that you wanted to buy one?
So I bought my first VR headset last year for Christmas, that is 2024.
Okay.
The reason that drove me towards it is that I went to an Apple store and tried the Apple Vision Pro first, and it was spectacular. I was really impressed by it, and it was then that I thought that, oh, I should really own this, and it would really enhance my quality of life, and I would feel very happy using it. But the thing is, the Apple Vision Pro is quite expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Costs over $3,000, and I didn't have that much budget to spend on a VR headset. So
Yeah.
the next best thing was the MetaQuest 3, which cost me around $500.
Which was exactly what I was going to lead into my next question, was what kind of VR system you use, and you said the MetaQuest 2 or
The
the
3,
third the
MetaQuest
three
3.
third one. Okay. And what are your some of fa what are your favorite apps or experiences on there?
Currently, I'm playing Beat Sabers and Ping Pong. So those are my two favorite apps right now.
And what exactly about them do you like the most out of all the other apps?
So Beat Sabers is quite immersive. You have lightsabers in your hands, and I'm a Star Wars fan. So that really makes me feel I am in the Star Wars universe, per se. And the ability to use my lightsaber as a sword is pretty cool, I guess.
Okay, nice. And my next question would be, how would you describe the feeling of being fully immersed into VR to someone who hasn't tried it before?
Yeah. For someone who has never tried it, I would say it's as close to actually being there as it comes right now. There has been a heap of progress that has been made in the past 5 years, and you actually feel like you're there. I would say there's hardly any difference between actually being there and being in your VR headset. So it's pretty immersive. Even after you remove your headset, you would feel you're still there. That's how immersive it is.
Yeah, I would agree. Have you noticed any challenges or drawbacks to using VR, like physical discomfort or any like technical issues that you've had?
I would say one, but this could vary from headset to headset. I could only tell you about MetaQuest 3. So the challenge that I face is the strap, which holds onto my head. I feel it's not the most comfortable strap out there. And when I compare it to the Apple Vision Pro, certainly that was more comfortable compared to this. But I think Meta sells another strap for $60. So in case someone is really facing an issue with it, they could buy that as an add-on. The strap is a bit uncomfortable.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. I've definitely felt discomfort from the strap before. So my next question would be, do you see VR as more of a recreational tool, or do you think it has the potential in other areas like work or education?
I would say it really is more than recreation, but not currently, mainly because of the form factor. Because if it has something more than recreation, then a user would be spending a lot of time on it, and currently I don't think it's feasible to put on a VR headset, at least in the form factor that it currently is in, for more than an hour continuously. But of course, if you actually want to learn or use it for education purpose, it's a great forum to do so. But at the same time, the form factor doesn't allow it to be used as widely as you would like it to be.
Okay. And how do you see VR evolving into the next 5 or 10 years? Are there any features or improvements you're hoping to see?
I would say the number one niche or genre where VR would really boom is fitness, because fitness is something many people are into, but going to the gym can get boring at times. But with VR, you would be, there are many possibilities, and you could, the immersive experience actually makes you enjoy the workout, and it doesn't feel like a chore. And when the form factor starts to reduce, then it would even become more accessible to more people. Even Meta currently has these Ray-Ban smart glasses, and it's just like wearing regular glasses. When we are able to get a VR headset in that form factor, then I think it would be more widely accessible to the general public.
Yeah, because I think when I play sometimes and have the, you know, the big Oculus Quest on, I can definitely, like, it can definitely be a kind of a hassle when trying to do stuff like that. Like, I play this boxing game on there, and I just sweat through it so much. Like, it can be unenjoyable sometimes. So definitely having something like that Could definitely make it a lot easier for people to, for fitness purposes, to get a better workout without having to leave the house. My next question would be, if someone were considering investing in a VR system, what advice would you give them?
My number one advice would be to just try it out, either at a friend's place or at the store itself, if possible, because many people have motion sickness mm-hmm. when they use it. And it doesn't really make sense if you get motion sickness after you buy it. I mean, of course, you can return it, but it would save you the hassle and you'd be better off knowing what your motion sickness threshold is. For me, fortunately, I don't have any motion sickness, but my partner, when she actually used it, she got really sick the very first time. And mm-hmm. even many apps flash disclaimers saying that these apps can cause motion sickness. So everyone's mileage may vary here, but I would definitely suggest just try it out someplace for free before you purchase it.
Yeah, I agree. And my last question for you is, what has been the most memorable experience you've had in VR so far?
YouTube is something that is really enjoyable and memorable for me. Not just YouTube, but any video watching activity, because there's this theater mode in MetaQuest which allows you to watch any video as if you're inside a theater
mm-hmm.
and that experience is really surreal.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you again so much for joining me on this. It's always interesting to hear how different people interact with this technology and the potential they see it. So thank you again, Akil, for joining me, and I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. Conversations like this really highlight how virtual reality is about more than just technology. It's about the experiences and opportunity it creates. Hearing Akil talk about his favorite VR moments underscores the emotional connection that VR can foster. But it's important to remember that with great potential comes responsibility. As VR becomes more widespread, we need to address concerns like accessibility, privacy, and the balance between virtual and physical worlds. I think what stands out most to me is how VR is evolving from a novelty into its powerful tool that's shaping how we live, learn, and connect. It's not perfect. There's still a long way to go in the terms of affordability and user comfort, but the progress we've seen in just the past decade is remarkable. Looking ahead, it's exciting to imagine what VR could achieve. Will we one day attend virtual classrooms or even virtual job interviews? Could VR help us solve problems we haven't even imagined yet? These are questions worth exploring as the technology matures. Thank you for listening to this episode of Virtual Reality Beyond the Headset. If you enjoyed it, be sure to check out my website for more blogs and resources on virtual reality. And don't forget to tune in next time when I will have a vlog of me going through virtual reality and being able to visually see what it looks like firsthand.